Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's a crazy world of professional wrestling where people are fighting, they're not getting along, everyone wants to be the best in the world, but there can only be one. We're going to dig into that and so much more on this week's edition of The Greg DeMarco Show.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brenda Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And Greg DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Cause it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome!
Well, what a happy Tuesday evening it is for those of you who are listening live. It is the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. We are having a lot of fun here. So as we were preparing for the show, Patrick couldn't hear anybody. Miranda can hear double, so she's hearing for Patrick. However, Patrick needs to hear. We'll see exactly what we have going on as things get going. So, yeah, you know, never a dull moment as we get ready to shift. Hopefully, some point soon, once I get some of the software set up away from the Blog Talk Radio and towards something better. We'll still use Blog Talk Radio for our distribution. Don't worry about that. For those of you who subscribe via that method, all the distribution channels will stay the same. But eventually, we will change the way that we record and do all of that. However, for now, it's the same. It is the Greg DeMarco Show. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me on social media at ChairShotGreg. This show is, of course, presented as part of TheChairShot.com and the ChairShot Radio Network. You can follow that at TheChairShot.com. And, of course, go to TheChairShot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head. And then you can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Pick up a T-shirt or two or seven, whatever floats your boat there. We got some great designs, and I think you'll like them. If you do pick up a shirt, make sure you pick up a soft style shirt. We will say why when we welcome in the Queen of Soft Style here in a minute. But first, we have to bring on the man himself. He is the wrestling realist. He's been here since day one-ish. He even did the show without me or Miranda last week. And that's, of course, Patrick O'Dowd.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S.
Moment of truth.
We've been doing this for 8 years. You would think you'd start talking when your song is over, but
I just wanted the hesitation for the drama, not being certain if this was going to happen, Greg.
Well, it's happening. As, somehow, it's happening.
I mean, I got sound at the 0 hour. Like the show said it was on the air, and that was when I finally heard anything. So exciting.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was my computer or if it was the Blog Talk system, who knows, but we're here. I'm fired up. Had my best pay-per-view prediction outing with you and Miranda out. So maybe you two shouldn't show up for pay-per-view predictions anymore.
We'll talk about that in a second, but
right.
First, you've named her a couple times. Let's bring her in. Wait, that's wrong. She's got too many damn sound bites for you guys. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different sound bites with Miranda's name on them. You know that?
Well,
six.
How many do you have with my name on it? Like 2?
Let's find out. No. With you, currently 3.
So let me get this straight. I've been on this show for damn near a decade.
Patrick O'Dowd.
You are not the five.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
That's old school right there.
3 sound bites. Miranda's been here a hot minute. She's got 6.
Well, she's got her dirty laundry. Well, here's the thing. Like, your bullshit segment doesn't have your name on the soundbite. So, whereas her dirty laundry one does. And she's got this one that you
enough is enough! I have had it with these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane! Everybody strap in! I'm about to open the fucking window.
Like, the X-Files one has her name on it, even though it's not just – like, it just – when I uploaded them – like, when I uploaded a lot of your stuff, it was just you and me. So I didn't need to put names
on
them.
Right.
Now,
okay.
I got to put names on them. So, yeah, you just wait. You're fine.
Aw, Puddin.
No, I see where I am.
Yeah, you're in a basement. That's where you are. You make fun of basement dwellers, and you do the show from a basement. So.
No shame there. No shame there. Bring Miranda on.
I will. To the stars. She is the host and the star of the hashtag Miranda Show. She's even the queen of soft style. It's a Twitterless heroine. Hashtag Miranda. Miranda Morales. You also have more nicknames than Patrick does. I'm sure he's going to be mad about that too.
Yes, I do. But first off, let me tell you, I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me. And that is literally what I'm hearing right now. See, I tried to copy Patrick. I decided to get a podcasting microphone. I ordered it. It's pink. It's super cute. I feel like
pink.
I sound better. However, it's now creating an echo where I hear back everything I say. I literally hear my voice in my head.
And it affects you. That's the best part about it.
It does.
There's no way around it.
Yeah, I mean
that sounds like a headset issue.
I don't know how to fix it.
It definitely is.
I don't know how to fix it. But I'm also kind of excited I finally got to use these lyrics. I thought about it after last week's hashtag Miranda Show, and I was really disappointed that I didn't think of it earlier. Yet. And now, here we go, take 2. So, yeah, first time I've really bonded with this song. Now I really understand Randy Orton for the first time ever. Who knew?
He's only been around for, 18 years or 20 years, so yeah.
Yeah, better late than never.
Never too late.
I think it's more fun to botch the theme songs and make up your own words. We're looking at you, Seamus. We're looking at you.
Yeah. Yes, the old lobster head.
We used to do it to Randy Orton song too, though, because we'd hear voices crying and we'd see Daniel Bryan.
I actually put that in my 411 Mania column. I used to be there in my column. I hear voices crying. I see Daniel Bryan. Something something something, and then ends with Devon's testifying. And I can't remember the third or the fourth line.
The heroes die. I taste blood.
We don't care about the real words, Miranda. We don't care. We don't want the real words.
Like, why are your lyrics so funny? Because the original one sucks. There you go.
Maybe. Remember when he got the musical performance at WrestleMania and we realized the band that performs his song is a bunch of total douchebags? Like,
well,
that was...
Like, that's the day I took that sound off of my ringtone. Like, Randy Orton music used to be my ringtone. Like, I'm not even going to pretend.
Yes.
It's like I loved that song. And then as the years went by, it progressively just got worse and worse to learn the truth behind it. Like the actual lyrics, like the band that was played. It's like, I can't do this. I can't represent with Randy Orton's music anymore.
Of course not. Well, we were there for his organic face turn as well, live. So.
Oh, yeah.
There's that, too. That show was more than just Shawn Michaels. Although he didn't really turn face till the Raw after, when he just came out and got a face reaction and was on a face tag team. But
we were there for that,
talked.
Too.
We sure were, because we went to Raw. So
that's right.
Yeah, that was WrestleMania 26. That was Miranda was either in New Mexico or Yuma at that point. I don't know.
Oh,
but,
wow.
No, I was in neither. I was in Tucson.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not at WrestleMania.
Which is kind of like being in Yuma.
You don't even know. You
you're
don't
right. I don't know,
Patrick.
I've at least been to Yuma.
That's the point. That's the reason why I can make that joke.
Where do you even live? Like, where are you?
In a bunker in Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Okay.
Yes.
Actually, that's not even a mystery. Like, that's known stuff.
That is known.
Why do people, like, so tell me about New England. Like, I'm using quotation marks because I just don't understand this cluster that is New England. Like,
so,
what is it?
You mean like the first colonies where settlers from England came and then decided to name the area New England? That part?
But they're states. Like, it's...
Oh, they're states now.
People say I'm from New England... But just
say, I don't say
where
from
you're
New
from. The state.
No, I say what state I'm from.
It's a region.
See, you got to understand, I'm a transplant, though. Like, I'm not from New England originally.
But you've lived there quite a long time.
But the ratio still hasn't shifted yet. Mrs. O'Dowd and I actually did the math from the Midwest-New England ratio, basically from when we moved to Connecticut, and we're not there yet. We're getting close. But right now we're still we're technically still Midwesterners, by our account.
So what I need to get for moments like this, I need to get the soundbite of the crowd chanting boring, and I need to start using that on,
hey, Miranda
on the show.
Started it.
You
didn't have to finish
started
it.
I was just making fun of you.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, really.
Both of you. God.
Really?
Shut your dumb mouth.
Seriously. Nope. Come
well,
on.
If anything,
would you shut the hell up?
I mean, come
this
on.
This is a good segue into the
shut
big
up!
Topic.
Shut up!
Anything else you want to ask Patrick about Massachusetts?
Nah.
That's great.
You ruined it with a one-word answer, but that's okay. Like, the one time you say only one word. The one time.
I figured it out.
Doesn't matter. By the way, your message in our Facebook group that was "fuck it, we'll do it live" is really funny because we always do it live here on the Greg DeMarco Show. But yeah, let's move on.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Is the theme song for one Seth Rollins. The bad thing about wrestlers who have fake names is that I can't go like John Felix Anthony Senior Jr. with the Seth Rollins because he doesn't have a middle name. We need kayfabe middle names now. I mean, some people have them, but Seth doesn't. Maybe, okay, how about this?
Isn't it
now
freaking
on,
Seth?
No, that's just a moniker.
Well,
I think from now
well,
on,
no, because...
everyone every wrestler needs a middle name. It's going to be Felix Anthony, and they're going to be Junior. So it is now Seth Felix Anthony Rollins Jr. is who we are going to talk about. So, yes, everyone now has a middle name.
I mean, I just figured since there's no longer a Dean fucking Ambrose, you just do that.
There'll always be a Dean fucking Ambrose.
Dean fucking Ambrose.
But there's not. There's a John fucking Moxley.
Yeah, now he's a whiny bitch. But that's okay.
Shots fired.
He keeps doing it. Like, come on.
Bam. Hey, I didn't say you were wrong, man. I'm just
So I have an old school song. I have an old school song that I wanted to – I didn't know when I was going to play it, but I think it's appropriate – to kick things off, and then we'll kind of dive into the topic, and you'll know why I'm using it. I mean, first of all, Patrick was talking about the predictions. Patrick, you did a hell of a job. You basically hosted that last week, the predictions portion of the show. And
oh, thank you.
I mean, I feel like over an 8-year span, you got way better at that portion of your duties, because 8 years ago when Buggy Nova left the show to join WWE and we gave you your own segment, I mean, awful would be like a credit to how bad you were at it, and so you've really come a long. No, he knows. There's no ouch. He knows.
I'm not particularly upset by that comment.
No, but now when it comes,
like,
to
I'm not a Twitter fan.
You're like a big dog. You're the big.
Here
dog.
Comes the big dog. The big dog, Roman Reigns. The big dog, and we kick off Monday Night Raw live tonight in Phoenix, Arizona, with the big dog.
You know the difference between that soundbite and this soundbite?
It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time! It's boss time in Brooklyn!
People still care about the guy that the first one is about. So, anyway, someone asked me today, are there any updates on Sasha Banks? I was like, yeah, no one cares about her anymore. Because no one's even bothered with her anymore. But that's
no, not at all.
Yeah, there's a lot going on without her. So
sure is. We don't need her. Yeah. But when she comes back, if she comes back, it'll be a nice surprise. Everybody will be excited. So this week's topic started in one way and then really blew up after the fact. So let's inspired by Patrick O'Dowd, he really want to talk about this. So let's dig in. Let's dive into the topic, Patrick. And you, I know you said you were going to have a hard time knowing where to start and whatever, but let's try it out and see where we can start.
I mean, I think the easiest way to start is looking at yesterday when I first brought this up, when it was just something simple in regards to a reaction to a Seth Rollins tweet. Like, where he was just putting over his company. Like, that's where this all began. And then Will Ospreay jumped in later and really blew this up in a crazy-ass way. I'm actually trying to get back to where it started. But it was,
right.
Yeah, it was just insane. Like, here it was. Yeah, it was me being angry because of our good friends at Cage Side Seats. Cage Side Seats was a part of it. This one's actually was an article posted on 411 Mania where Seth Rollins doubled down on a tweet saying that the WWE is where the best pro wrestling in the world is. And then doubled down after Stomping Ground to put over the WWE is the best pro wrestling on the planet. Talked about the Cruiserweight Triple Threat match. and how great that was and how that was one amongst many. And then he put himself over and said that, you know, any, find anyone else alive who does what I do as well as I do as often as I do it. And the headline that got put in response is what set me off, because the headline was Seth Rollins continues to stick by his tweet calling WWE the quote, like, and that's the best part, is they quoted best pro wrestling on the planet, dismisses idiots with no clue.
Yeah.
It's a loaded headline. Directed,
it sure is.
On the, directed on the presumption that Seth Rollins is just completely wrong and is an idiot for posting that. And that's my problem with where this whole thing kicked off. Because then the Ospreay stuff kicked in later.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of gravy for today that I know we're really going to dig into. But this narrative and this idea, and if you look in the article, they post all these responses that are like from fans being like, you know, you're insane, you're crazy, and then led to a bunch of responses from people like Jericho, Tama Tonga, and Ospreay is the one that really kicked off. And it's just like why can't a WWE guy, the WWE guy, put over himself and his product the way that everybody and their brother take shots at him and their product? It's ludicrous to me. It's crazy that somehow then makes him Vince McMahon's drone, Vince McMahon's puppet, this idiot that doesn't know what he's talking about because he's just drinking a different Kool-Aid. And we're going to talk about Kool-Aid a lot today, I know. to sit there and vilify this guy for liking where he works and for thinking that
how
the
dare
people
he.
That he works with and that the people that he works with, like, people have forgotten that the second tweet puts over three guys that don't get regular television time anywhere outside of the WWE network. By my own admission, the only match I missed on Stomping Grounds is from the show I didn't watch.
It was probably the best match the whole night.
Yeah, and it was a terrific match. Lots of fun. However, like, that's been lost in this whole tweet, is this whole thing of what he put over. Now it's turned into a pissing contest over Seth Rollins being, I mean, you pick an adjective, it's been thrown at him since he made that comment. And I got to say, kudos to him for not backing down when that madness started, because it's ludicrous. And this whole narrative of what a very determined portion of the wrestling community wants to create in regards to how the WWE is run, how their performers work. Like, if you don't want out, apparently you are just completely brainwashed by Vince McMahon. Like, that he's got this voodoo magic that he's just making everybody that likes working there only cater to whatever money that Vince is giving them or what. Like, it's just, it's insane to me. And it mushroomed into something that is off-putting and gross, and people should be embarrassed.
It is. That's all correct. All 100% accurate. And yeah, it's just, it's crazy how people feel about it. But we've talked at length. So, Miranda, Patrick kind of set the stage. So give us your thoughts on just the whole ordeal. There's so much there, but certain things jump out.
Yeah, there's a lot going through the Twitter history and the back and forth between Seth and Will. I know we talked a little bit earlier about who truly instigated this. After Seth tweeted his doubling down comment, he asked, find anyone else alive who does what I do as well as I do it, who, as often as I do it. God, the voices. You can't. Will Ospreay just tweeted two words, I'm alive, at Seth Rollins. And then, to me, that's where it really launched. I could see fans having their opinions about Seth's original tweet, but then it just exploded after that. And let me backtrack. Maybe not that particular tweet. His response to Will saying, I'm sorry, little guy. I think that's what really triggered this to another dimension. And I think it was because people were surprised that he was so proactively going after someone. And I can understand fans who said, well, you know, Will brought himself into this conversation. And he did. You know, whether it was out of like malice or anything bad, that's not what I personally got, but he did put himself into this. He intentionally put himself into this. And once you do, you know, you can't get out easy, especially when you're two of the most popular wrestlers in the entire world. Eyes are just going to be on you. But I think that his Seth's response to Will really got fans in a flurry, in a fluster, by, you know, calling out Will for his size, even though they are pretty similar in size and build. So I think fans took that and ran with it further than I think it needed to be. But also just really defending the WWE. I was surprised that fans were so negative about that. I agree. He should have the right to defend the company that he works for, to defend the company that his friends work for, the company that given him so much success and allowed him to do so many fantastic things. And he should have the right to share that and fight for that. But I'm also a little confused as to why, as much as Will put himself into it with just those two words, why he seemingly went after him so much afterwards. And again, they went at it together. He brought up Ricochet, or Seth brought up Ricochet. Will brought, I don't know, an office meme, and then fact of the day, and they went back and forth. But I didn't see this escalating as far as it did by just Will's original tweet. I think Seth took it that far, but understandably, to defend his work, his company. But I think that's the part that I'm still trying to process. Was this just a bad time? Like, was this just the straw that broke the camel's back of constant tweets and messages and things like that, of people just totally dumping on WWE? Like, what about that in particular got him so riled up? I'm curious, and I'm curious if you guys have any thoughts or ideas.
I think for me, it's just that he's taken up the mantle for the company. He believes in what they're doing. He believes that it's the best product in the world. And everybody's been coming after WWE, and so he decided to defend it. And for some reason, he's the bad guy, like Patrick was saying, just for simply trying to defend the company. Now, I actually love the fact that he went to the bank account statement with Will Ospreay, because to me, that's a reminder of what this is. The wrestling business, it is a business, and you are in business to make money. And I know not everybody's in the business for that reason, but at the end of the day, that's what else is there to go off of? Dave Meltzer's star ratings? Like, no, that's nothing. And so, you know, Will Ospreay's had opportunities to go to WWE and has chosen not to. And a lot of people would argue it's because he wants to be a bigger fish in a smaller pond. And it's, you know, a lot of really talented people have gone to WWE and couldn't cut it. So it's, you know, and Seth Rollins has. He thrived in that system. He's done very well. He's dealt with scripted promos and start and stop pushes and all that other garbage. And yet here he is basically on top of the world as a professional wrestler. So to me, you know, Will Ospreay had no reason. He jumps in with "I'm alive." Now, first of all, everyone talks about Rollins' attitude, but what kind of attitude is "I'm alive" supposed to really give off anyway? Like, "I'm alive" is a very asshole.
But that's just two words. Like, was he supposed to add a winky emoji or something just to say, "Haha, just kidding"? Or
I'm going to interject here because here's the thing is you keep going back to two words. He threw Seth's words, exactly what he said, at Seth Rollins. He basically, like Seth said, you know, "I challenge anyone alive to do what I do." Will Ospreay saying, "Yo, I'm better than you," in those two words. And you can do that in two words.
Definitely.
And that's the way I read it. Is it's not like he came in all politely and was like, "Look, blah, 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 blah." He threw Seth's words right back at him. And, you know, you asked the question, Miranda, of what you think triggered it. That is what I think triggered it, is that he took Seth Rollins' tweet, took the words that that Seth Rollins said, implied that he's a bigger deal in doing, you know, and is doing more than Seth Rollins because, I don't know. He said he is quoted since this has come out as saying that Seth Rollins is jealous that he has a title that's more important than the Universal Championship in the WWE. So, like, there's a head there.
But his original tweet was not "find someone else alive who does what I do better." It was, you know, "as well as I do."
So he put out a challenge, and again, regardless of the semantics of it, he used his words. It's like when Greg and I go after each other, and Greg really wants to get under my skin, like, we've seen this. Mm-hmm. It's like he knows what to do, and a lot of times one of the easiest ways to trigger anybody is to use their own words either in a way that, you know, we don't like, or to show it up, and yeah, I'm not saying that Seth was like some sort of victim here, but I could see how that could set him off, and you know, to imply that he's in some way doing what Seth Rollins does, because I think that one of the things that we're overlooking is if we're going to talk about somebody representing a company like the WWE when you're the Universal Champion, we're going to argue dates and amount title defenses. Like, Seth works every Monday. Seth works a few Tuesdays. Seth works every pay-per-view. Not every one of those is a title defense. Like, that schedule is different. And in between those, as the champ, you can ask anybody within the WWE, if you're the Universal Champion, you don't get a day off. Like, you just may not be working in the ring. And so, sure, maybe, you know, maybe it was just two words, but it was two of his own words that were kind of thrown back, in my opinion, were thrown back at him, and Seth pushed back and was like, you know, whether you want to say he went about it appropriately calling him little guy or whatever, I don't know. I love the exchange all the way around. I love the pushback on the two of them. I think the vilifying of Seth Rollins over you know, between him and Will Ospreay is laughable, and to try and compare what they're doing in two completely different companies, it's not an equal argument anyway.
Well, let's talk about the little guy thing, because you brought up a good point about people using, you know, he was using Seth's words against him, and I do that to you all the time. And look, how many times have someone made fun of me and then, you know, put "use your head," ha ha ha, like that's just what people do.
Right.
But the little guy thing is Seth giving Will Ospreay right back to Will Ospreay, because the whole reason he did that is because Will Ospreay doesn't want to be a junior heavyweight anymore, and New Japan won't allow him to not be a junior heavyweight anymore. So Rollins knows what he's doing when he calls him little guy, and if you get mad at Rollins for using little guy, you've got to get mad at Ospreay for using "I'm alive," because they're doing the same exact thing. And it's, you know, it just shows that double standard that people have. Let me ask you guys a question. And this question is about the internet reaction. How would the internet react if we took what Seth Rollins said and we changed any reference to WWE to a reference about AEW, and we changed Seth Rollins to Cody Rhodes? How would people be reacting today?
So if it's a beef between Cody and Will?
Just the original tweet where Seth is tweeting about the support of the company. How would people respond if it was Cody tweeting about AEW?
I would say they would be excited, even though there isn't a lot to view in the AEW product, that they would be amped. Like, yes, this is the fuel we need to get into AEW. This is something that we're looking forward to. Like, I think people would have given hyped, amped.
Yeah.
Totally a different reaction.
I think you gave a very nuanced way of describing that, though. I don't think they'd be like, I think it would. I also think they would have been like, hell yeah, you're going to stick it to the WWE and this is better.
Right. And then say if Seth took the Will Ospreay route and replied to Cody, how would people be reacting to Seth?
I see where you're going here. I mean, it'd be the same level of negativity. Like, it would be overwhelmingly negative on Seth. Because it's the WWE guy acting scared.
It has nothing to do with Will Ospreay and Seth Rollins. It has everything to do with WWE and not WWE. And for that reason alone, I praise Seth Rollins. Like, Seth, when he put out his statement, he knew what the responses were going to be like to every one of those statements. But you got to look at where Seth Rollins is. Even people in the company tweet negative things about WWE. Like, Twitter has given people way too much empowerment to talk crap and think they can get away with it. Seth Rollins, here's what Seth Rollins has done. And I can't remember. All of this was boring. We talked about this before. And I even warned this dude, like I didn't want our Facebook conversations to be better than the show. And they haven't been. So I'm very happy about that. But Seth Rollins is basically in the John Cena position now in WWE. That he is the flag bearer for the company. Because it's not Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is in the Undertaker position in WWE right now. And Rollins is the one who's really stepped up and taken that Cena position where he truly is the guy for the company. Roman's more the backstage leader. And they're starting to settle into those roles. This is Seth Rollins publicly being the flag bearer for WWE. And people are criticizing him. Bro, you can't be the flag bearer for that crap. They have made him a multimillionaire. Of course he can be the flag bearer for that crap. But people aren't looking objectively at either thing, in all honesty. They're looking subjectively at WWE and subjectively at AEW. That's really what this is, which is hilarious. Will Ospreay's not even in AEW, but this truly goes back to WWE and AEW. And the same people that are all over, you know, defending Will Ospreay are the same ones who are drinking the Kool-Aid that we alluded to earlier for All Elite Wrestling. It's gotten to the point now where WWE can do no good. There's nothing they can do that will be positive, and people will put – even if they do something good, there will be a yeah, but after the compliment.
Well, we'll do a good example. We got – what did we have today? Oh, we got to announce that they're starting an intercontinental title feud with Finn Balor. You know who he's taking on? Did you see?
I don't.
Nakamura.
Well, so people say? What's the response?
Well, the first is, yay, guess what the butt is?
Well, it took too long. You're going to waste it.
And it's over the wrong title.
Oh, my God. Really?
And this is the thing that's to kind of hammer down your point. What did you all think of Stomping Grounds as a pay-per-view? Like, just as a show?
It was exactly what I said it was going to be. It was a good pay-per-view. From a wrestling perspective, it was an entertaining show.
I've never seen I've never seen consistently the amount of people that can't bring themselves to objectively look at a WWE show that had a lot of really good stuff in it without no selling a match purely based on either who's in it or who's producing it. And I will die on this hill. I loved the Roman Reigns Drew McIntyre match. I thought that was a terrific match. The number of people who have said meh or it was okay at best or people talking about the card is that the card started really strong. And the reason why they say it started really strong is because all their favorite people were at the beginning of the fucking show. you look at it. That's what it was. You had Owens and Zayn. Daniel Bryan was in the first half of that show. Like, all these – Becky Lynch worked the first match And even she's
we don't
not
offer any more anymore. Anyway,
yeah, because we've fallen out of favor. Because now we've decided that Lacey Evans somehow doesn't do it for you because she's too green, because she had a couple botches, her first couple of matches on national television, like a lot of your favorites. But it's now, so we're going to ignore that she's doing a fairly serviceable job in the ring and a hell of a job on the mic, because we want to say that she's not ready, because we want to push that narrative. Because, you know, suddenly people who were terrible when they came up, like, became good out of nowhere, whatever. The point is the first half of that show, if you look at that card, it's a lot of guys that people love in the indie world and on the Twitterverse, the people who actually talk about the shit on Twitter. You get to the second half of that show, and it starts to get into guys that we don't really care about as much, or that for some reason we've just always decided they can't put on a good match. Roman Reigns, Drew McIntyre. Like, that suddenly became this big disappointment of a match. And that's the one that really sticks in my craw, by the way, which is why I'm hammering it home so much, is those guys put on a great match. That match told a terrific story. It checked all the boxes. Now, was it a five-star masterpiece? Was it Flair Steamboat in Chicago? No. But you can't tell me that, you know, objectively watching that match, that was, you know, if you were to do it a five-star match, if you were to look on a five-star scale and say it was 2.5 stars, that it was average, that was a C. Like, you're insane, and you weren't watching the show. You were deciding on the two people in the match and were like, fuck all, they're not better than this middle-of-the-road match. And this is coming from a guy who doesn't like Shane McMahon, doesn't like seeing him do bumps, doesn't like the storyline. That match was a good match.
It was. There were a lot of good matches on the show.
Well, I think Patrick brings up a really good point as far as that five-star match feel. I feel like fans have this expectation of WWE that they truly are the biggest and the best company, professional wrestling company out there. They have the most talented roster in the entire world. And I think then fans have this expectation that every Raw, every SmackDown, every pay-per-view, every event, every match should blow you away based off of the resources that they have, of the wrestlers that they have. And maybe the company does things that they don't agree with, or, you know, booking decisions, storyline decisions, whatever it may be. But I feel like fans think that the company should just do better because they have everything in their wheelhouse to be better. But I think where there's some loss in translation is, what does that mean? Be better how? Do what?
Be better.
Articulate. Be better, do better. But what does that mean? I think that's what I struggle with when fans talk about WWE as a product. Do what? You know,
well,
what would you like to see? And that then also translates to, everyone has a different idea of what good is and what they get out of wrestling. Even between the three of us, we have three very different ideas and expectations and interest in just WWE and pro wrestling. So as much as they are trying to build a product that appeals to millions of people all over the world, you also have a fan base that struggles in articulating what being better means or doing better. It's just this expectation of, you have all the money in the world, why aren't you producing the best product in the world?
See, but I would argue they are producing, I think they are producing the best product in the world. I think they're producing a varied product. I think they tell better stories than people give them credit for. I think that when you ask the question of what people are looking for, the complaints that I see is that they want every single match to be the same kind of match. They want it to be this, like, technically beautiful, like, strong style, like, whatever. And that's just not what the WWE product has been. And they know this. Like, it's not like, if you came in and watched the product blind and had no idea what the product was and decided that you liked that, because, like, I just don't they know what they're getting out of the WWE. Like, these fans weren't just fans yesterday. They've been following the WWE for years. And so when they sit there and they talk about be better, if they're wanting to harken back to an era that doesn't exist anymore, I'm looking at you people claiming for the Attitude Era, which is not good anymore, by the way. Go back and watch it. It's not that great. There are parts of it that are great. The WWE has made it very clear what they're trying to put out there. They have a lot of great creative things that have been going on. There's been stuff that folks have liked all the way across. This fan base seems to think that there's only one type of match that needs to be on a show. And that's really where I find it problematic. Like, when I watch New Japan, and I watch New Japan, I like New Japan, I haven't watched an entire AEW show, so I'm not going to pretend to know. But I get bored up to a point watching a New Japan show, because it's basically the same show over and over and over, and it's basically the same type of match over and over and over again. If that's what you want, like, watch that, but don't expect the WWE to be that, because that's not what they're going for. Like, they're not, that's never been what they're going for a broad swath of audience. And if you look at any WWE show, the thing that I've always found is that you get a little bit of everything. And that's why I think it's a superior product, because it really is built for any sort of fan to find something out of that show to take away from and enjoy. But we choose to shit on the stuff that maybe isn't quite our cup of tea or isn't quite the same place. And that's just dumb.
Yeah, they're never – people decide going into a show whether or not they're going to like it. They decided going into Double or Nothing, they were going to love it, so they did. They decide tuning into WWE, they're going to hate it, and they do. And you can't tell it because people get mad. But what you talked about with the WWE, they put on a varied show. That's why they're the best product, because they don't put on a show that's for Twitter.
Nope.
And that's what pisses Twitter off, because Twitter just wants a show that's for Twitter. But if they put on a show that's for Twitter, you think the ratings are quote-unquote bad now? Their show would be terrible. The ratings would be horrible. They'd go out of business if they did that. Like, right now, this person on Twitter is complaining because, you know, someone asked what Vince McMahon's legacy was, and I said, my usual, billions with a B. And, like, so that's all that matters. And someone replied, they're a business, it is. And the person says, so what you're saying is they don't give a fuck about the fans, the followers then. No, they don't give about the followers, because the followers are stupid. And the followers don't even know what they want. And the followers are never going to be happy. Why should you try to make somebody happy who's never going to be happy?
And right? They know that they're going to watch regardless. The people who have been watching for 20 years are still watching after 20 years, regardless if they like the product or not. They've developed such a deep habit of watching every single week. Every single week for 20 years. And they're not going anywhere, good, bad, or indifferent. So why are they going to modify something for someone who they know is going to keep watching, when they have other people that they're responsible for or that they answer to? Yes, in a business sense, it's stockholders and board members and advertisers and things like that. But that's not the end-all be-all. And the watching patterns and habits of fans who have watched for years and years indicate that there is no threat of them doing anything different and losing fans, because those fans are still going to watch, because they are in a deep, like, almost psychological pattern of, I have to watch Raw regardless if they like it or not, because it is Monday, or I have to watch SmackDown because it is whatever day of the week it is, Friday eventually. But it's, they're kind of playing on that. They're playing on the fact that people who love wrestling, and they may not like WWE, but they love wrestling. And now it seems like being a pro wrestling fan has evolved into this love-hate pattern with WWE, and just cheering on anyone who they think can bring this titan down, which is just not going to happen. There is literally no company that is going to take, quote unquote, take down WWE. Now, competition, absolutely. And competition is healthy. Competition is great. But if their ultimate goal is to put this company out of business, which it really isn't. I think people say that they want to see a company out of business, or the WWE particular, but they just want to whatever they hate to go away, whatever that is, and whatever that looks like, just to go away. But you know, if for some reason WWE were to disappear, they'd be the same people hoping in just months, I hope they come back. You know, it's just a weird, almost psychological pattern that people can have with the WWE, very much a love hate, but also just out of habit. And that habit will just show that the company doesn't answer to those fans. And the more that you accept it, the more inner peace you will have with yourself. Maybe your Twitter will be a little bit happier, like full of puppies and kittens and all this kind of stuff, because you're literally running yourself in a rut trying to think anything different.
So I want to jump in here, because I've heard both of you say that the WWE doesn't care about their fans, or at least about the product. I don't buy that entirely. I also don't buy it entirely that for 20 years we've gotten the same stuff. And I think you're seeing a beautiful creative upswing right now. Like, you tell me when the last time you saw anything like the Firefly Funhouse was going on WWE, like, to this level and what they're doing, where they've taken it. So I do think that they recognize keeping people entertained. I do think that there's some level of, this is what we've always watched, so I will always watch it. I don't buy the argument that you can't walk away from it. I think that the thing that I find fascinating is that people talk about this as if it's the only option, as if there aren't so many other ways to get wrestling that you're looking for in this day and age. We've had this, like, we've gone through this circle a couple of times. Like, we've had so many, there are so many avenues to get wrestling that's different from the WWE. And there's going to be another one in October on a regular television program. I think that there are people that seem to think that wrestling will somehow get better if the WWE is taken out. I think that there are people who believe that AEW is going to somehow, like, rise up and supplant the WWE. I still say, talk to me in 3 years after the program has been on, and we'll see where we are in terms of whether this is real competition or whether this is Impact Part 2. And I think that's a real thing. And I think that as much as you hear Cody and the Bucks say that they're not trying to compete with the WWE, I disagree with that wholeheartedly, because if you were really about doing your own thing, you're not using a pay-per-view to smash a throne with Triple H.
Right.
So you just don't do that. And
then
so,
make a t-shirt out of it.
Right. Like, everything that you're doing tells me that you're trying to do shots fired on the WWE. Whether you think that's just to rally your fan base or not, that is a very specific, targeted act to the big company. And it's no different than when Bischoff and Hogan tried to do their shots fired, except it was, we're going to move Impact to Monday nights and go head to head and live and just watch that fall apart terribly. Whether they want to argue it was poor planning or not, and not being really ready for it, that was just, it's still an attempt to try and go after the WWE, because they are the biggest wrestling company in the world. I'm sorry, I'm done. I think I'm done.
Well, you mentioned the fan base, that they can break this habit, but I don't think they will. And it's because this is the most convenient product available at this time. You don't have to get any special online feature. You don't have to use an app. You just turn on your TV, go to USA, and soon Fox, and watch it. Whereas some other products will require a little bit more work. Not to say it's, you know, a secret lockbox and secret code, but convenience, I think, adds an element to why people keep on watching and why they remain to be so popular. But I think it's more challenging for fans than they think, unless they really start thinking about it, like, really, like, almost therapeutic level. Why do you still watch if you don't like it?
But the
it
people
is because
who
they've built this habit,
this
and it's still so convenient for them to do it that
it's laziness.
Yeah.
Some of it's lazy, but the people who complain about this stuff cite these other companies. Like, that's the thing. That's why, like, Joe Fan, who's not reading what we're reading and being angry about, like, sure, they're tuning into TNT or USA, and they're going to tune into Fox. But, like, when people are straight up being like, this other product is better, I watch it all the time, I must hate everything about the WWE and hate watch it, what are you doing? Like, and that's the fan that I don't buy. Like, that person that is sinking their money into getting New Japan online because they don't want to watch it on Access. Or, you know, whatever it is, like, finding a way to, like, LOL Impact or ROH or, you know. I mean, these people were griping about the cost of the AEW pay-per-view, so what do I know? That, like, I could be wrong there, too. I think people are going to be in for a rude awakening when AEW continues to do things that show that they are a business themselves and will make decisions that are going to be driven by good business and not necessarily what they're selling right now on their two pay-per-view, you know, the 2, 3, 4 pay-per-views they have before they actually have to really string story together on a show.
Well, and they've even said they don't want to do stories as much, and then they think that people will go on matches alone. And to Dave Meltzer's credit, he even questioned if that's a good business model. So
sure,
I'll give him credit there on that one.
He also said the Smashing of the Throne was just something that happened in show, and it was no way a shot at Triple H or the WWE. Wow. Outside of the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
how?
Here's the big thing.
So disingenuous.
The simple truth around how these fans treat AEW versus WWE and anyone else is a couple weeks ago when I sent a tweet out and I said, who's going to be the first person to jump ship from AEW to WWE? And people thought I was nuts for suggesting that anyone would ever do that, as if it's not going to happen at some point in the future when these 3 and 4 year deals are up. Like, 3 and 4 years from now, it's going to be nuts. And people are going to be so mad at people like MJF and Hangman Page and who knows who else that decide, I'm going to WWE. It's going to be a whole different ball. Like what we're talking about now is going to be so different than what we're talking about now. Just like what we're talking about now is so different than what we were talking about 3 and 4 years ago on this show. Some of you weren't on our many hiatuses or hiati or whatever the plural is for hiatus.
Hiati
is the internet fan base. They hate themselves. They say, hi, I hate I.
Instead of he hate me, I hate,
yeah,
I.
I hate I. Exactly. That was a reach, but I appreciate you selling it for me. That was good.
Everybody knows he hate me.
I need you to sell it for me, and you did. But here's the problem. What we're complaining about and what we're pointing out is there are people out there who are smart enough to understand it. There's really a divide. There's people who are smart enough to understand it, and there are people who are in this day and age aren't going to get it. It's going to take years. We're not going to change anybody's mind. I want to shift gears to something that wasn't even planned or on the rundown or anything like that. And we'll keep it quick. In fact, we'll even bust out an old thing that we've used on the show before.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes that we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes that we're out of here. We got 3 minutes that we're out of here.
Did you see the people complain? And Patrick brought up the Lacey Evans botches. Did you see the people complaining about her match with Becky Lynch? And the things they were talking about specifically were Becky calling a back elbow spot and then Lacey not being in position for Becky's little springboard kick she does out of the corner. Have you guys seen any of that?
No. No, I'll say
no.
I have not.
I've seen all the other complaints about their matches. When you're like, the complaints about their matches, which one? There's a lot of them, which I think adds to your point.
Big time. And so people are somehow blaming Lacey for the fact that Becky loudly yelled back elbow to call a spot in her match with Lacey Evans. Like, that's somehow Lacey Evans' fault.
Right.
When really that fault lies on two entities. Number one, Becky Lynch, you go into the corner, you lean into your opponent, and you say the spot. Like, that's how these things work. I'm not really revealing too much by saying that. Number two, that building, and Michael Cole even said this at one point, is a cavernous dome that is terrible for sound quality. Like, that building they ran for it was a horrible decision to even run Tacoma. Number one, Tacoma is a terrible market for WWE. Number two, it's a 20,000 seat building. So even if you draw 7,000 or 8,000 people, it's going to sound, and it's going to come off terrible.
Weird.
Number three, the sounds are bad. So they had to turn up the mics that they have on the crowd. And that, you know, and the crowd sounded great because it was a good crowd in terms of the quality of the crowd. It was just 7,000 people in a 20,000 seat arena. And it's a dome, and so sound escapes. So, of course, mics are going to pick up something like that. Becky, as a professional, needs to know this. But Becky chose to yell back elbow at Lacey Evans. So then they move to the spot. Becky runs in the corner. Lacey follows behind, and Becky elbows Lacey. Becky then pops off the second rope and goes to kick Lacey, and Lacey's not there. And suddenly this is Lacey Evans' fault. Do you know what Lacey Evans was doing when Becky was popped up and tried to kick her?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Selling the back elbow.
Oh.
Like, she was selling the prior move. This is the thing that – and, of course, it's Lacey Evans' fault, not Becky Lynch's fault, because Lacey's so green.
Right.
I love Becky Lynch. I love what she's done this year, whatever. She rushes. She does not go slow enough. And WWE blesses more – company, you sell in wrestling, you got to let everything settle. She rushes. That's why she didn't take the time to lean in and call her spot. Instead, she just yelled it out. That's why she immediately popped up to kick Lacey Evans instead of giving Lacey Evans time to sell the move that was just delivered. And then when she finally does awkwardly deliver the kick, Becky shakes her head like it's Lacey's fault, just like Undertaker thought it was Goldberg's fault when Taker couldn't properly tombstone pile drive the guy. So, and I don't think Taker thought that. I think Taker was probably mad at himself. Everyone just said that Taker was mad at Goldberg.
Right.
It bothers me so much that this, again, people just went into the match assuming that Becky is wonderful and Lacey sucks. And it's the same thing. Oh. You just go into the match with this predetermined decision of what it's going to be, and that comes true. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I mean, think about how long it takes throughout history. Like, this isn't new. Like, we pick on people all the time. Randy Orton. How awful was Randy Orton when we suddenly decided he was good? Like, it was years.
Oh, yeah.
It was a long time.
And I feel like this is going to be the same thing, that no matter – and I've felt like this for John Cena, and I feel like this for Lacey Evans – no matter what happens in matches for at least the next decade while Lacey Evans is working here until she's almost out the door because she's, quote, too old or whatever, if something goes wrong in a match with her, it's her fault and she's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last week on the show, like, when I was talking to Rick about her match, and, you know, Rick was like, well, if she loses – is this going to be this like terrible thing for her? I think part of the reason why we think that is because there's this belief that she's like the WWE is going to look at her in ring work and see it the same way we do, as if she's the big problem in every match that she works. And that's not to say, by the way, that anybody on our group is saying that Lacey Evans is by any means perfect in the ring.
Right.
But what we're pointing out is that there's a decision that Greg has pointed out is that there is a decision that has been made by a collective of you of how something is. And no matter what the reality is, we're going to thrust it back as our perceived reality, not reality.
Well, this reminds me a lot of Roman Reigns.
Yep. Same example.
Almost exactly. And he's now just getting on the other side of that. Still gets booed. But there's definitely not as much vocalized criticism. And
true.
And I think some of it is just the man has gone through a lot. And I'd hate to think that that's the reason why. But I feel like fans have cooled off on him in that way. But exact same situation in every match that he had. And a lot of people just thought he wasn't prepared, even though he was in FCW before this, even though he grew up in a wrestling family. You know, he was one of many wrestlers who had transitioned from football to wrestling. I mean, he has all of the natural talent, but also the talent that he developed in developmental. But because of, you know, people's opinions about him, his experience, everything he did was wrong. Every move that he made was terrible, you know, so on and so forth. So it to me, it's the exact same thing.
Right. And I do think it does say something about this wrestling fan base that it took fucking cancer for people to soften on him a little bit.
And Lacey Evans is tough. I mean, former right. U.S. Marine. She's gone through trainings and boot camps that some of us would not even make, you know, like I would die leaving the first step.
Like, Lacey could actually handle herself, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is the real deal. Back to your Roman Reigns thing, though. I think one of the other things that's been helpful for Roman Reigns is the stories that they've put him in are a little bit more palatable to the Roman Reigns is being shoved down our throat crowd, because he's still in a prominent spot on the card, but he's not the prominent spot on the card. You know what I mean? Like, he's not running with the title and ending every show. And I think that helps him. He's still in a great story. He's getting a Shane McMahon feud. But it makes a difference, because now we're not having it shoved down our throats, quote unquote.
I agree. Once Lacey gets out of this feud with Becky, I feel like no matter who she's going up against, the people are going to change their tune. They're going to open up to her because she's not in that championship spotlight. And maybe in some ways that's where they should have started, but ultimately I do see that changing a bit whenever they decide to move her along with someone else. I think people are going to say, oh, well, she's getting better. You know, all the things they should be saying now, they'll say after she stops feuding with Becky.
I hope so. I really hope so.
It's funny. You know, I look at someone like Dolph Ziggler. Had Dolph Ziggler right. debuted in 2004, long before the Twitter revolution, if we want to call it that, happened. Dolph Ziggler didn't work an indie date in his life. And it's funny now because everyone hates on Dolph Ziggler. But for years, we loved Dolph Ziggler. If Dolph Ziggler debuted today and had the same career that he had, he'd be hated for every single day of it. Like he right. would never be loved. And you go back and watch his cash-in the night after WrestleMania 26. Like, people – I think it was 26. Maybe it was 20. It was 27.
No, it wasn't 26, because Jack Swagger had to
– Exactly. People went absolutely – in fact, it might have been 28 or 29 now that I think about it. I think it was 29.
Whatever it was.
People went bonkers. They went banana for his cash-in. Like they went absolutely crazy because he was their guy. If he debuted in a Twitter age, he would never be their guy. Hell, if the NWO happened on the Twitter age, oh my goodness, it would have been insane. Like the Attitude Era would not be remembered the way it is if Twitter and social media were around at that time. And we can't go back to it. We can't get away from social media. That's just silly. We just can't get away from it at all. But it's really that's the narrative that I talked about in the rundown that we mentioned so many times. And the narrative has become so strong and so bad that the only way for anyone to be happy to go away. And it's like something that I said last week when we did the Miranda show on Wednesday. People are addicted to WWE in the same way that they're addicted to alcohol, and alcohol ruins their life. They're addicted to WWE and it ruins their fandom. And I don't want to make, you know, that parallel, because that's a real problem that a lot of people have is alcohol addiction. But that's an extreme example to make a point. People truly are addicted to WWE. They can't give it up. Like we could probably make money if we opened up some kind of, you know, diversion system or diversion service for people to get away from WWE.
12-step
we might
program.
Actually make some money off of it. Yeah, like literally. But we won't, because the first step in a 12-step program is admitting you have a problem, and they're willing to admit WWE has a problem, not themselves. So they'd never get past step one. But I truly think people are addicted. And I don't think they're ever going to get away from it. I don't know what the answer is, because I don't think there's an answer. And that kind of ticks me off, because I hate when people complain without an answer, and I don't have an answer.
Well, the answer is to actually pay attention to the content that's being given to you.
They can't. Like, their addiction has made them blind.
Because I think last week I tweeted this. Raw and SmackDown were good shows last week.
Mm-hmm.
Raw was a pretty good show this week too. You're getting some quality stuff, and you can't see it, and that's what's disappointing. I think there's been so much good stuff that has happened that we can't see the forest for the trees at this point, and that's bizarre to me. So
you're right, you absolutely can't. 100%. So, all right. Well, that is going to wrap things up this week. Patrick, how's the Twitter? How's the Twitter going?
I Rick only got me about 4 more followers, and then I lost one. So I'm at 433.
Ooh.
But I would say that the Twitter followers that Rick gained for me were real people. Like the names were like people who follow Rick that Rick. When he promoted me, you know, they'll actually be around. And so that's reassuring. So we'll see if we can keep it going. We'll see if I can have another, maybe if I have another, you know, stellar pay-per-view prediction run, I can get a few more. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. You had
keep
a hell
going
of a run
on
this
Twitterverse.
Time.
I did. I had
yeah,
a good
well,
day.
You
had
did.
A good show.
You had a good day, so yeah. And of course, you can find Patrick at Wrestling Realist. You couldn't do it last week either. That's as good of a job as you did.
We didn't even try. Rick just did it.
He did. He asked because he knew, and I may have clued him in ahead of time. But yeah, as good of a job as you did on the paper.
Patrick can't read his Twitter handle.
So good that I think I may put you in charge of our Extreme Rules predictions.
The pressure.
A year ago,
pressure.
Miranda wasn't here for this, but a year ago was the Extreme Rules where I just kept yelling singles match over and over again because every match at Extreme Rules was a singles match.
Right.
I think we're headed that way. Now it's going to be tag
team match. Not all of them, but...
Almost all of them.
Almost.
There was very little Extreme about Extreme Rules last year.
Some tag matches.
Yeah, we do. So excited. You know, it's sad because they really could have called the tag match between Sasha and Becky against Lacey and Baron Corbin. They should have called it Double or Nothing since two titles are on the line.
But
would have loved every second.
Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunity indeed. I'm sure Triple H thought about it and decided not to. It's Wrestling Reels for Patrick Redown on the Twitter. It's WRESTLNG. REALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one in realist. And there is one in Patrick as well. And that is, of course, the Wrestling Realist Patrick O'Dowd. 433, well on his way to the hashtag Patrick500. Miranda, not on Twitter, so you won't find her there, but you can find her on Facebook. Just don't send her messages. That's creepy. And yeah, we might have brought that up a week or two ago. But that is it. I haven't even told you guys yet. No show next week. No show.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I'm going to be away. Now, if you want me to arrange a guest co-host, you guys can still have a show. I support it, but I will not be show. No show for me next week. How about that?
Dun dun dun.
Do you want me? Rick would love to do it. I'm sure he had so much fun last time, and all he did was complain about Miranda not being there. So, you know, if you guys want,
We made fun of the West Coast time zone for a significant period of the show.
I know.
That was fun.
We got to make that decision later. So
sounds good.
That is going to do it. I need to find a good song. Good song to end the show with today because it was fun. Stay tuned, by the way. Miranda, what's coming up? What's coming up next for people either live or what they can listen to later?
Yeah, so next on the hashtag Miranda Show, we're going to be discussing our wrestling bucket list. What are the places you want to go to, the events, the people you want to meet before you ultimately go 6 feet under?
Wow, that took a tragic end.
That took a dark. There. That's a dark turn. I've been watching way too much Firefly Funhouse.
I guess you have.
Wow.
I guess you have indeed. So. Patrick's probably slightly jealous.
Before I go, I want to go see a Royal Rumble before I die. There's my bucket list.
Yes, you do.
I'm hanging up.
There you are. You hang up. I'll play a song.
Good night, Fred.
We'll do this next week.
Bye.